You had, now I would like to say back to you, you had yourself, of course, after the night of the 31st, you know, carried on. You ended up going through a lot yourself. I mean, a lot in a period of time.
Yes, from it started, well, that same night, of course, I got up August 1st, mm-hmm. From July 31st, in the morning with severe head pressure.
Right.
Very strange pains and pressure kind of feeling.
Mm-hmm.
This pressure never went away. It stayed, to this day, it's still with me at times. It has gotten better in the last few weeks now, mm-hmm. but it's still there.
Right.
But before it was constant, 24/7 it would be there.
Okay.
Now it progressed to the point where I finally said, you know, this is it. I've got to find out what's going on here. I had a strange episode happened to me where I was sitting at my computer, and the next thing I knew, I was on the floor, the computer chair was on top of me, and I didn't know how I had gotten there.
Right. Right.
So I went to a doctor, they sent me to a specialist, they did some special tests, and as it turns out, it came back that I had some kind of brain injury or something, they said, on both temporal lobes and in mid-central brain or something. I can't remember exactly what they said. I'd have to pull my paper out, the medical paper. But I asked the specialist, I said, he thinks that I'm having these small seizures now where mm-hmm. I don't have grand mal's, but I have, it's like sometimes people will just do a staring thing for mm-hmm. a minute and they're actually having a seizure. I said, how can that be? How does this happen? He said, well, usually it happens from a trauma to the head, like a blow to the head or
right.
something like that. And I said, well, you know, that I know of, I haven't had any blows to my head
right.
in the last few months. So I guess to this day, they still don't really know. They're just kind of pacifying me and saying, well, you know, this is happening now, but we're not sure.
Right.
Kind of take it a day at a time kind of thing, and that's it.
Basically. That's right.
Now, the one other thing that's been happening and that's very scary is what I call these cold spells.
Yes, I know.
Where my body temperature goes from normal and I have to, and goes down to 34, 35 degrees.
Right.
Now, by this time, my skin color has changed. My muscles are almost totally frozen. I am having problems talking, moving, anything. To reach the phone, the hospital,
wait,
emergency, took every effort I had in me.
Well, you say, I mean, even just like I know we were talking about this some time ago, too, but
mm-hmm.
actually when it was all taking place, I think your lips turned, changed color.
Oh,
your skin actually changed color,
yes.
to a degree, you know, even the slightest or whatever, but everything was happening such so traumatically or dramatically. I mean, he was showing, you know, not just feeling it. I mean, it was showing it on your physical, yeah.
Yeah, and it would happen very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I almost had no time to understand what was going on to grab the phone. Now, the first time it happened, I was so terrified that I did manage to grab the phone, and I called, and it was hard for me to speak, so she had a hard time understanding me.
Right, I guess
but
so, yes.
But she finally got it and said, you sound like you're hypothermic, like you need to get to a hospital. And it was very late at night, everyone was sleeping. I said, no, I can't. So what I did is got myself to the bathroom, poured a hot bath,
mm-hmm.
and got into a hot bath, then got out of the bath, put on some tons of clothes, and got into my bed.
Right.
And by this time, I was shaking. I was just shaking. And then I don't remember. I guess I woke up the next morning. So
you don't remember after anything?
No.
Sort of after the bath?
No,
and the
I just remember getting into bed and shaking, and next thing I knew, I was waking up in the morning, and my body temperature was back to normal.
Back to normal.
Yeah.
And how many times has that taken place, Corey? Now, has it taken place?
Oh, boy.
A few times,
I would say
anyway.
At least At least 5 or 6 times since 2003.
And I know, because I remember you had gone into the hospital there, you know, because you hadn't been well. Right, exactly. And because you hadn't been well after the 31st, and you, know, you hadn't been well, you know, those months leading up to that. You were in there, I don't know, almost a week, I think it was?
I was in there actually almost 10 days.
10 days, okay.
And what happened is I had this cold spell, one of these cold spells come on.
While you were in the hospital?
No,
before.
What got me to the hospital.
Because I just wondered, did they actually catch this and check out what it was happening? That's what I was wondering. I was like, right on.
Well, you know? This is weird because by the time I got to the hospital, I had taken myself there or got somebody to drive me there because I had this cold thing going on. My body temperature was down to 34.3. And at the same time, my heart was beating totally irregular and very shallow. And I think I was doing like 42 beats per minute or something. It was ridiculous. Jeez. I thought I was dying.
Yes, it sounds like
so. By the time I got there, they quickly did the thing. They noticed that my temperature was really low.
Right.
My color had changed. My heart was beating irregular. They started doing rushing. They put an IV in. They did a bunch of blood work. The next thing I knew, this doctor was coming in, and he said, "Wow," he said, "your white blood count is right off the charts." He said, "Like, I can't believe you actually got yourself here." So they started me on 1 gram, I think, 1,000 milligrams of antibiotics through the intravenous right away.
Right.
And then they also said that for some reason the liver enzymes were sky high.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've never drank in my life.
Right.
I've never touched drugs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any form of hepatitis, HIV, nothing.
Right.
Totally clean that way.
Mm-hmm.
So why would my liver enzymes be so off the charts?
Yeah, really. Because I know, even when a person gets your white cell blood count, I believe when it goes up, and that's usually an indication of some kind of infection or
right.
something like that. Because I know
I
had it myself, and when they sent me for tests, and, you know, that's when the results came back, and it said you must have an infection, they put me on the antibiotics.
The only thing is they couldn't figure out where this infection was from.
Exactly.
So they just decided to keep me in. They said, you know, you're not going home. We're going to keep you under observation. We're going to see what happens. And it took quite a few days before it finally came back down to within normal range.
Right. So, that's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So then you get out, and then you, of course, get out of the hospital eventually. Answers. What kind of answers? None.
What answers was I getting?
Yeah, exactly. No.
Absolutely
not much.
Nothing. Zero.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't know what happened to you. We're not certain what it was. But, hey, you're better now. You know, your blood count's almost back to normal, except for the liver enzymes. We're going to have to keep an eye on that. And that was it.
Well, at least they're going to do that. Now, since that time, and now, have things been,
I've been
sort of feeling off times too? Or?
It's off and on. I've had quite a few potassium levels crashing. Actually, one time it was so bad, they actually took me in and put it in intravenously. It was that low. So again, it makes your heart beat totally irregular. You're feeling weird. It's not a nice feeling.
No, and in the meantime, I'll say all these medical things are taking place.
Mm-hmm.
You're still having the odd.
Well, Nikki has definitely, my daughter, who's almost 18, moved out now a couple of months ago, and she moved in with her boyfriend a few miles away from me here. And she seemed to be doing okay until about, I think it was 2 weeks ago now. She called me in the morning and she said, "Wow, Mom," she said, "I don't know what's going on or what happened through the night. I must have had a spider bit me or something."
Mm-hmm.
But she said, "I've got two lumps on my head. One's behind my ear,
right,
on my scalp,
right,
and one is in the back of my neck. And she said, they're almost as big as golf balls.
Oh, my goodness.
And I said, what?
Oh, jeez.
I said, what is that? She says, well, she says, no, no, don't panic. She says, they're not all, you know, they're not like golf balls. It's like half a golf ball sticking out.
Yeah.
And I said, well, that's still big enough.
That's right.
I said, I want you to go to the walk-in clinic. I said, you have to have a doctor, you know, look at that.
Right.
So she says, okay, well, I'll do that. The next thing I knew, it was a couple of hours later, probably around between 10:30 in the morning and 11:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
She gives me another call. This time she's frantic and she said, oh my God, Mom, they're here. I said, who? What? What are you talking about? And she said, the black helicopter, it's here. It's above the house. Now, her boyfriend doesn't know anything about what's happened to us.
Oh,
he's never talked about strange stuff. I mean, you know, he's just a regular person,
right,
who's never experienced anything. So he was apparently very freaked out.
Oh, I guess
21
he would have been.
Years old.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking up at this black helicopter, blacked out windows, no numbers, no signs, nothing on this helicopter. Everything's black,
right,
and it's a big one,
mm-hmm,
and it's hovering like rooftop level, like where the trees are.
Right.
In fact, when they went to take off, they nearly nicked the top part of a tree.
Well,
in the yard.
Well,
so what are they trying to, so of course, poor kids, they were terrified. They're going, who are these? What are these? What's going on? What? And I said, look, I'll take care of it. You just calm down. It's nothing. Don't worry about it.
Right.
It's probably some of the police force doing a thing on maybe a drug bust or something,
right,
near you.
Good way to,
okay,
put it. Yep.
So, okay. That's all it,
yeah,
is.
There you,
oh,
go.
Thank
that
you.
Helps.
Okay, so they were calmed down. But I thought, I'm going to investigate this. I've had enough of this.
Right.
So I went to a helicopter place that's on the west side here.
Okay.
And right. I went in and I said to the lady at the desk, I know this is going to sound strange, but I need to ask you a question. She said, sure. I said, do you own or have or run black helicopters with blacked out windows?
Mm-hmm.
You have such a thing.
Right.
She kind of looked at me with a weird look on her face,
probably,
and this smirk on her face as if to say, oh boy, here comes another one. And I said, look, I know what this must sound like, but really, I need to know. She said, we don't have any. And I said, well, what about Canada? And like, do the Canadians somewhere else in,
mm-hmm,
Canada have something like that? She said, not that I know of. Not with where the glass is black.
That's
out.
Right, because they're dealing with pretty,
right,
much commercial,
so
aircraft.
I said, well, what about, you know, the police force or something, if they're doing a drug bust or whatever? She said, no, those are black, or kind of a dark green color, but they have a see-through glass,
mm-hmm,
and they usually have numbers or a name or something,
oh, yeah,
on the helicopter.
That's right.
And I said, well, who in the world runs these black helicopters? She says, the only ones I know of are the military, and they're from the U.S.
Yeah.
And
well,
I said, thank you.
Right. Now, I've had reports from back in 2003, 2004.
Yes.
People, the Vernon area. Now, there's an old, I guess there's an Army base down there, and I guess it's not really being used much now, but I guess the cadets,
yeah,
seem to do stuff out of there. I've heard at times there's been a lot of some top brass in there, coming in and out, a lot of aircraft of some sort. I mean, is there something that could be got out of that little base, you know, coming up around your area, just looking around? Because you have to remember, now, we go back to this whole event on the 31st. There were, because a lot of people don't know this, there are 8 people that had seen the lights over the highway where you and your friend were and had your experience. Now, these people didn't know you. These people are all independent around the area. But when they, because I was getting all these reports, and reported these lights around this area. So that they, I mean, there's good confirmation that something took place.
Yeah.
You know, not only that, there were green lights being seen. This is away from the 31st sighting, or your experience, around the Kelowna area, you know, Okanagan, all over the all over the place, flying around the mountains, hovering stuff, shooting up in the sky, over top of the mountains, down in the valleys. Some of them were dropping down. I heard there was even one fire caused by supposedly a green light. It wasn't a meteor.
Yeah.
You know, so there was all kinds of this stuff happening. So is it a possibility that somebody knew what was going on, and I'm sure they would, and were watching the area, and still to this day, well, for example, down there, I know that you had a support group. I don't know if it's still running right now.
I started a support group, yes.
Right. It was yours, yeah.
Experience, yes.
Right. So there were a number of others around the area that, of course, attended, and they were going through experiences of some type. So is it a possibility there was, because there was so much happening in your area that, and of course, I would say the military had to have been aware of what was going on, and they were having somebody keeping an eye on it, and this is why that's a possibility. You've seen the helicopters, your daughter's seen the helicopters. I think you've seen them before.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
oh,
so
yes. It wasn't the first time.
That's right. So this is what I'm going to, there's just so much in that area. You know, I haven't received so much like in for 2005, a little slowed down 2004, but the two years in a row, that was crazy. So I really do believe that they were keeping an eye on something down there.
Well, I'll tell you, Brian, your guess is as good as mine.
Exactly.
But I have to say to you that on different occasions through our lives, the children and I have been buzzed, as they say, by jet black helicopters,
right,
with blacked out windows.
Yeah, gotcha.
And we have no idea who they are, where they're from. We are almost more terrified of those than we are of anything else.
Right.
And I don't know why. I can't give you an answer for that.
Exactly.
But they really bother me.
That's right, because you can't get an answer. That's right.
Well, they usually happen after something has happened to us through the night, or we've
right.
had a sighting.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, it's not in our imaginations. My goodness, I mean, we've had more witnesses to some of our sightings and things that have happened to us than we can shake a stick at.
Yep.
I mean, you yourself from the July 31st, 2003 incident have how many witnesses now?
Happened to us. There was eight for sure, like
yes.
we said earlier, and there was a ninth.
Oh.
I've never talked to the ninth, but there was definitely a ninth that I never ended up getting a hold of them or whatever.
You know, if we keep staying like ostriches and keep putting our heads in the sand and don't try and face this thing and get answers, you know, we're going to keep living in fear and ignorance. We have to put the pieces together. We have to figure out what's going on here.
Most definitely.
How do we deal with this,
I'll tell you, people have been working in this field for ages and are a lot more mm-hmm. clever than I am. And they come a little bit, you know, we come a little farther probably each year maybe, but they're still, you're right. We need some matches now. If it wasn't for people like yourself who come forward and give us the information, tell us the experiences of what's going on, we're sort of lost. If more people who hear this,
yes.
who read these stories, will be feel safe enough
yes.
not to be, you know, be careful who you report to. There's good people out there. You can report it and just make sure, hey, I want to remain anonymous. I don't want my words being posted. Or you can post them. Just leave my name off. Whichever. It's the information that's so important that maybe it might actually lead to finding some answers one day.
Well, I'll tell
or
you
some kind of a disclosure of some sort.
Yes. And if they're lucky enough to have had, like, I consider myself extremely lucky, because were it not for you, Brian, and Jeff Rentz, and also Chad Bigottini,
mm-hmm.
Who have been supporting me, giving me all the support all this time, I don't know what I would have done.
Well,
to be quite honest with you, you're the three that have kept me really going. So, you know, I'm lucky, but what about, there must be hundreds of other people like ourselves.
Hundreds of thousands.
Exactly. Who are experiencing this. And this is not just happening in the States. This is happening right here in your own backyard, people.
Exactly.
Right here in BC. Right here in Canada.
You bet. And I can tell you that there is so many people. I mean, they won't admit it. Like Prince George.
Yes.
There is so many people in there who claim to have had an up-close experience with some kind of crap, some kind of beans. I mean, some of these people, I mean, matter of fact, there's a doctor out there that people can go to. I mean, he's a regular family physician. If you're lucky enough to have him as your family doctor, you can actually sit down and chat with him. And he's not laughing at you. He's not making silly comments or thinking you're nuts.
Yeah.
He's actually listening. So, I mean, there's a few of them around that actually is a step forward for
people.
Well,
maybe we'll have to get his name, Brian, because the next time I wake up with a radiation burn or one of my children do, believe me, I'll be up there to talk to him and show it to him.
Exactly. Well, there's no problem. I could get his name and number. That wouldn't be a problem at all.
That would be wonderful.
That's no problem at all. But, you know, this is what we need. More people with an open mind to say something is happening out there.
Absolutely.
And there's no question about it. Now, also, you have a book that you've been working on for some time now.
Yes.
And it sounds really amazing. I know you've spoken about it on Jeff Brent Show, and I know I have received many emails from people that can't wait for the book to be out because they want to purchase it.
I'm not going to disappoint them too much. I've never written a book before. So it will be written possibly in a different way than what they're used to reading. But it is our lives and our truth, and as God is our witness, this is what it's going to be about, our lives.
You don't have to
experience.
That's right. You don't have to get fancy-dancy about something. You're telling a story, and you're telling of the experiences and within the family, what's been going on. That's what people want.
Yeah.
They want to hear what's happening from the heart, not some silly robot thing up the road, the way I look at it half the time. Because I sit down and read some books and I shake my head and say, oh my God, you know, I think it's going to be really good. I know it will be.
Okay.
And I know, and always something to know too, you have more support than you can imagine.
Oh,
you have no idea. You really do. So many people are always ask about how she do it. I mean, it's weekly anyway, for sure. Somebody's writing a letter.
Well, that means a lot to me. It really does, because believe me, you tend to feel quite alone with everything. So.
You would. A person would. You have to feel alone, because who do you talk to? You can maybe talk to maybe a family member, if you can, you know, hey, you can trust them, maybe a friend, or you got somebody there, your boyfriend, whatever. I mean, you can do this. Talk to somebody like myself or Graham Conway. You've talked to Graham.
Graham has been absolutely wonderful in the past,
Other than getting on a radio show and that, you can do a spiel on that and tell your story and stuff, but you still got to come back and deal with it every day. It's every day of the week. It doesn't go away.
I mean,
even if you wake up in the morning, hey, the day's beautiful and everything's going cool, you go to do your work, come home, and there's somewhere along that way you're going to think about it.
Yeah.
You know, it just never leaves you. And it's good to be able to talk to someone. If not, even if a person doesn't have the answers, you can still get some of it off your chest. It's got to be a little bit of a relief, although it doesn't solve the problem. You know.
I wrote the book for many reasons, Brian. I think, well, one of them was very therapeutic for me, for sure. It was very difficult, very hard at times, because of course I relived everything every time I would talk about something.
That's right.
But I think the main reason was to bring an awareness to people.
Mm-hmm.
To stop living in fear. I don't want to live in fear anymore and hiding all the time.
Right.
And hopefully this can help other people. People can take what they need from my book, whatever that may be. It could be a parent who's experiencing things with their children or their grandchildren, and they're thinking they're going crazy, but once they read what's happened to us, they'll go, oh my God, we're not crazy, and we're not alone.
And also, here's a lady who is very strong, and who has maybe thought of, oh gosh, you know, I can't deal with this anymore, and it just got to a point where it's just low, but you picked yourself back up. You have children. You have a life. You have a life to live. There's a lot going for you, I'm sure, and a lot to come, you know. Sometimes things don't look that rosy, you know, of course, but you pulled yourself back up. You're a strong person. You know, and people can see that, and obviously you're carrying on, you're speaking about it. Gosh, you've started that support group, you got a book going. I mean, you're giving a good message to people.
Well, like I said, I hope that it will help in some small way, even if it's in a small way, that it can help some individual out there to maybe be able to face this in a better way or something.
Right.
I talk about you and there's so many people now in BC like yourself. There's UFOBC in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
There's different people, and of course this certified counselor that's been working with me for over a year now, Chad Bigottini,
mm-hmm.
who's absolutely wonderful.
Right.
I mean, people need to know that you guys are out there.
That's true. Yeah,
you know
right.
that you're here for us.
Yep, that's right.
You're not alone.
That's right. And hey, I'm here, Graham's here, and there's other people like the other gentleman you mentioned, and I'm sure there's others too. We're here, hey, if nothing else, to listen.
Yeah.
If that helps. I mean, you can do the best you can. Sometimes your hands are almost tied because what do you do? But we can still try.
Of course.
You know, and that's what's important. And hopefully, you know, everything else, like the family and everything, things will just pull together. Maybe this will all end one day. It would be very nice. It would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like probably losing a family member. And I don't mean to be funny, you know, really, because, I mean, it's been in your life for so many years now.
Yes, that's true.
You know, but maybe it would be good to say goodbye. You know, it would be nice to just leave us alone, you know, because it's not a laughing matter, but sometimes... sometimes when I hear these stories, it is upsetting, it is heartbreaking, and sometimes I sit here thinking, I've got to sort of think to myself, oh, I've got to come up with something stupid to say, because, you know, otherwise, you know, your heart, it just drops, you know, and it really does get you down. I know when you're telling me these stories here, you know, some of the stuff's been going on back in 2003 and up into 2004.
Mm-hmm.
My God, you know, you go to bed at night and just stay there and just think about it, I don't know how they can deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
But you did. You know?
We do, because we have no choice.
That's right.
Especially if you have children. I mean...
But it helps to have some strength, too.
Yeah.
Even though sometimes it, you know, seems like it's pretty low, gets you down, you still put yourself up and you went on, and you did deal with it, and, you know, you did a good job.
Thanks.
You did.
Thank you.
So, anyways, we have your book that's underway. I know we're going to end up, you'll send me an image or whatever, we'll get the information. I'm going to make sure I post it on my front site so everybody can see it and can order it.
It's just a matter of finding a book publisher right now, and it's done.
Yeah, good. And so as long as you know, have that, making sure you let me know right away, because I do want to get it all posted, and I'll get it in my newsletter and do everything I can. I know there's been people that have already asked me and said, when's it coming out? And I says, as soon as it happens, you'll know. I'll make sure it's posted there. I'll let you know. So there's a lot of people who are interested in it. I don't think they're going to be disappointed one bit. Like I said, you're retelling your story, your experiences, and it's going to be good. I know it will be.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks for the vote of confidence.
Yeah, well, we all need it once in a while. I know I need it too, but I honestly do. It's going to be quite something, because I know how many emails and how many letters that people still ask. Like I said, they still ask, how's she doing, you know, what's happening, and this is why I thought it would be a nice idea to do this, just to give an idea. Hey, she's still around. She's still kicking. She's moving on, you know, all those are things are still happening, and it does get a person down from time to time, but you're still there and you're still fighting.
You bet.
Yeah. Okay, then. Thank you very much for taking time with me for doing this.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me on your show.
You're welcome.